From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. More than 30 clergy members of various faiths were arrested at the U.S. border between San Diego and Tijuana on Monday. The interfaith group engaged in an act of civil disobedience to try to conduct a prayer for migrant justice at the border when they were arrested and dispersed. The action, organized by the American Friends Service Committee and dubbed Love Knows No Borders, was aimed at drawing attention to the ongoing plight of the large number of refugees who have traveled together in a caravan and who've been stuck in Mexico waiting for the U.S. to process their asylum applications. President Trump has said that his harsh anti-immigrant policies and border militarization has resulted in migrants deciding to turn back and return to their own countries. While a few may have decided to return, it appears as though a majority of the refugees remain at the border. Among those arrested on Monday was Lucy Duncan, Director of Friends Relations at the American Friends Service Committee. Welcome to the program, Lucy.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate being here.
So describe the action for us. I understand that, although 32 were arrested, there were actually hundreds of people there that had come down to the border, some local and some from the other side of the country.
That's right. We had about 400 people, 400 interfaith leaders from all over the country coming. We had Jewish leaders, Muslim leaders, leaders of the UCC church, people that are in leadership in the Poor People's Campaign, Presbyterian ministers, many, many Methodists as well, of many, many, many creeds and many many faiths and many ethnicities as well. And we were there to call on this administration to stop its repressive policies of border militarization, to defund hate and through defunding Border Patrol, and also to defund hate in ICE. We've been calling for actually to abolish ICE for some months now with many, many other activists, and also to end detention and deportation. All of these are cruel practices and we believe that they all should end. So we started out in a press conference in the parking lot of Borderville State Park. And many people spoke. Imam Omar Suleiman, who's affiliated with the Council for American Islamic Relations, talked about how this was a moment to struggle for the soul of the nation. And I thought that was really, really poignant. He described going and visiting McCallum Detention Center and just how horrifying it was to see all of the tents and all of the people detained and the way that the children's eyes were really kind of hollow because of the trauma that they had experienced. And so that's where we started out. And there was music. Emma's Revolution sung a song at the end of that time. There were little bands of musicians that were singing and performing before. And then we gathered in a procession of four of us at a time. And those of us who were willing to risk arrest were in the first rows. And we marched through the mud and through the puddles. It was about a mile to reach the beach. And when we reached the beach, Reverend Tracy Blackman, who's a UCC minister, and Reverend Liz Theo Harris, who's one of the co-chairs of the Poor People's Campaign, and Bishop Carcano, we stopped and we wanted to honor all of those people who have died trying to cross the border. This would have been the 25th year of La Posada Sin Fronteras, which is a celebration that happens, an honoring that happens at Friendship Park each year. And this would have been the 25th anniversary. And the Border Patrol said that Friendship Park was going to be closed. And part of that ceremony is reading the names of those people who have died trying to cross. So all of those names were read. And then for those who wanted, Bishop Carcano and Liz Theo Harris offered an anointment as people passed that section of the beach. And then we walked in a solemn walk, often in silence, from there to to the border wall. And our intention was, there's what used to be an invisible line, but now there's concertina wire that marks what they call the enforcement zone. And if you go beyond that, Border Patrol is enforcing that place, and people are not allowed to go there. And our intention was to cross that threshold and to go to the border wall and bless the migrants on the other side, pour some consecrated water. And we reached the concertina wire, and some friends of ours from the Council on American Islamic Relations sung a Muslim prayer. And then there were about 10 of us that walked very slowly toward the 30 Border Patrol agents that were lined up in formation with riot gear on, with knee pads, with shields on, with bully clubs, with rifles that we assume would be used for rubber bullets, with tear gas canisters. And we stood next to the concertina wire and we walked towards them. They told us not to approach them, that if we moved forward, that it wasn't okay. Okay, that they didn't use those words, but that they said do not approach any further. This is an enforcement zone, and we very, very solemnly and very intentionally and slowly moved forward, and then we had some consecrated water that was from an interfaith service the night before, and we opened that, and I offered a blessing. I said that water knows no borders and love knows no borders, and we are pouring out this consecrated water on this ground to offer solidarity with our migrant brothers and sisters and kin on the other side of the border wall, and that we believe that border wall is a lie, and that these are brothers and sisters and neighbors that we should welcome with open arms into our communities and offer them sanctuary and shelter.
The Catholic National Catholic Reporter, in reporting on what happened, also mentioned that there was a contingent of alt-right extremist activists that were there, that were present, and that the arrests happened after this group sort of came in and began making taunts. Do you know anything about that?
Yes, there was one woman that I saw who kept yelling about America, and she kind of pushed herself forward. And I believe there was an altercation. I didn't witness the altercation, so I don't know what happened in that altercation. What happened was that the Border Patrol kept telling us to move back. At one point, we kneeled down and we started to sing songs. One of them was the Oye Mi Gente song, "Rise up, my people, my condors, my eagles. No human being will ever be illegal." We began to sing those songs, and for a while we were just standing across from them. And actually, when we knelt down, it was interesting. The Border Patrol officers, they moved back in response. It was interesting. So we were in that kind of standoff for a while, and then at one point, the DHS officers arrived, and we were there for some time, and the DHS officers arrived, and it was clear that they had orders to arrest us, and then they arrested us. I'm not sure if they were responding to that. The Border Patrol officers did tell her not to provoke, but I'm not sure that she played a role in that or not.
Okay.
But it was very clear that they had orders to arrest us.
Right. Now, I understand that most were charged with failing to comply with directions from federal officials and released. Obviously, you were released as well. But there was one that was charged with assaulting or resisting an agent?
He was not charged, actually. Mm. They asserted that he had assaulted an officer.
I see.
But if you see the video, it actually is very clear that they assaulted him. They came after him. He was one of the people that was in the head of the rows, and they knocked him down. They pulled his backpack off of him, and then they pretty violently pulled him out of the crowd. He was further back, and they targeted him and arrested him. He was in detention for 24 hours, and then when he was released, he was not charged at all. But of course, they said that he had assaulted an officer. They were very interested in maintaining that narrative. While they were standing there, they also started to say that the migrants on the other side of the border I mean, on the wall were throwing stones. And I believe that they were saying that because they were lying. We did not see any stones being thrown. That they were saying that so that they could so-called retaliate against them, that they were building a case to retaliate. They also talked about how the water was contaminated. It was kind of a performative thing about care, but I think that they were trying to get us to move back.
For your own good.
Yes, for our own good. I'm like, well, we're actually standing in front of you who have, you know, guns. I think you're a little bit more menacing than the water at this point.
While you were doing this action, was there any visible contact with people on the other side of the border? Were the migrants and refugees who are waiting for their asylum applications to be processed able to see what was happening, or was it too far off?
They were close. They could see us. Actually, some of the most powerful photographs come from people who were standing on that side. And there's a hill. There's a place right at the border wall, and people were standing right there, right beyond where we were. And then there's a hill that kind of rises a little bit above the border wall. And there were many, many people standing there. Some of them were singing. We could hear them singing for a while.
And was that important for you that they saw what was happening? Because right now, our country is represented by a man who has demonized in such a vicious way all immigrants that it's really embarrassing to be an American.
Yes, yes, we wanted to very, very clearly counter that narrative. We wanted to counter it in a very powerful way and to say that we stand in solidarity with the migrant caravans. And they have taken such enormous risks in response to some of the repressive policies of the U.S., which is part of why that they are migrating. They have taken huge risks to walk so far, and it seems like a very, very small risk. I mean, you know, it's scary to stand in front of a Border Patrol agent, and it's scary to get arrested, but it seems a relative small risk to stand in solidarity with them and to say very, very strongly in no uncertain terms that we support their right to migrate and that we stand against the hateful policies of this administration. Mm.
So this particular action was meant to draw attention to not just what's happening specifically at the border, but as you were saying earlier, a broader set of issues, including the role that CBP is playing, including the detention of families and children and so much more. And I'm wondering if you think it got enough media attention, because all it takes sometimes is a very tiny group of extremist right-wingers to get tons of media coverage, but when you have hundreds and hundreds of progressives coming together to make a call for compassion, it doesn't get enough media coverage, and so the rest of the country doesn't hear enough about it.
Well, we've been very pleased actually with the coverage so far. We've been in Time, we've been in some major media outlets and ABC. Of course, we would love to have more. That's part of why we also are organizing echo actions for the next This began on the International Human Rights Day because we believe in the right to migrate. So that's why we started on that day. And it will end on the 18th, which is the International Day of the Migrant. And in between, we have over 60 echo actions that are going to be in cities across the United States. And we are organizing an action on the 18th. Ourselves to conclude this days of action. Our action was organized in response to the migrant caravan, wanting to offer real solidarity directly to the migrant caravans. But it's also timed in this time when Trump is calling for $5 billion additional for the border wall, and all of these appropriations obviously are trying to be made. And so we want to assert very clearly that we want to defund hate in all of these policies, whether it's funding the wall, funding detention, funding the deportation mechanisms and ICE, or funding the Border Patrol. So we think the timing is extremely important in order to influence policy.
Do you feel that there is enough countering to Trump's demand for a wall. He's struggling right now, trying to threaten a government shutdown over the funding for the wall. He wants $5 billion. Senators have said that they will give $1.2 to $1.6 billion. He's putting it on the Democrats, and there was the remarkable televised temper tantrum that he had on Monday, or Tuesday rather, where he, you know, threatened to and said he would take full responsibility for a government shutdown if the Democrats didn't give him what they wanted. And Representative Nancy Pelosi kept saying, well, why don't you start in the House and start your process? Republicans control the Congress and the White House. And he kept saying, well, I could get a vote in the House in a second if I wanted to, but we need 60 senators on board, so therefore we need Democrats. But it doesn't look like he has the votes even in the House, even in his own party, does he?
I'm not sure that he does. I think that there's starting to be a shift in this policy, and it's such a critical time to call Congress people to put enormous pressure on them not to support this. And I think, you know, $1.6 billion is too much, of course. So I mean, I think that countering this as powerfully and as deeply as we can is the time to do it. And that's why we're doing these echo actions, and that's why we are asking people to call their Congress people or visit them if they're able to, and really demand this. And that's why we're also doing action in DC. I actually think there will actually be at least two of them on different days.
And so do you feel that the whole idea of this border wall and militarization of the border is essentially just political posturing, right? Because there is a wall on the border, on most parts of the border. It's a very, very long border. It's different kinds of walls in different parts of the border. And Trump is claiming that that he's already begun building it, although I think there's mostly just reinforcements happening in parts of the border. He spoke a lot about the border wall right before the midterm elections and then just kind of dropped the issue for a while. It's just political posturing for his base.
It's political posturing, yes. It's trying to drum up more hate so that he can get support. Yes, the border wall already exists, but it is being reinforced. There already has been some allocation for the border wall to be. It's usually replaced on a certain time frame, and a much taller wall is already being built. I was in Tijuana a couple of months ago when I saw them actually placing the wall. There was a place where it was very poignant. There was a tree that was right in the space that they were going to build the wall, which was kind of like offering resistance in this place. When we watched them putting these sections of the wall in, the workers hid their faces. They didn't want it to
really
be identified. They didn't want to be identified as people who were doing this work. We were standing next to a shrine that an elderly Tijuana gentleman had created, and actually AFSC had helped make it so that they wouldn't knock down that shrine in the process, but they built the wall a lot higher right there. So yes, it is, it's sort of both, and it exists already. It is also being reinforced and added to, and this call to build the wall, to build the wall is to make it, you know, make it, reinforce it more, to enrich the companies that are doing this work, which, you know, we should all oppose that. And also, I went to see the border wall prototypes. There are eight border wall prototypes. Each of them cost $500,000. There was a big show that
the prototypes cost $500,000.
$500,000 each. So $4 million to create these prototypes. All of them were scalable. None of them were workable for the actual wall. So that also was a kind of a showmanship thing. They're still there. Those prototypes are still next to Tijuana. So yes, it is showmanship, and it's real money. It's real money to enrich companies that you know are funding hate themselves and building this up. And it's really important that we say no to that, and that the that money get 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 funneled into much different initiatives.
And here, and we also just recently heard about this company that that Border Patrol had hired earlier this year, last year, a private Irish company to help them hire 7,500 new Border Patrol agents. And it was a nearly $300 million contract just to help Border Patrol hire thousands of new agents. And 10 months into their contract, this company had hired a grand total of two new agents, for which they had so far been paid more than $13 million. Unbelievable. So it sounds like, in addition to it being about political posturing, it is also being used as a cash cow for private contractors. And
it's just... That's true for the detention centers as well. It's horrifying. It's very, very horrifying that people are getting so, I mean, it's true for private prisons as well, but for the detention centers, that companies are getting enriched by separating families and detaining people who are just wanting to seek safety and shelter and home. It's horrifying. It's Imam Suleiman testified to that incredibly powerfully. There was also somebody from About Face that was a part of our march, a Unitarian minister who used to be in the military. And one of the things that she pointed out is that it's illegal for in combat for soldiers that are in combat to use the tear gas that they actually have used against the children. So they can use it against migrant children, but not against soldiers. That tells you a lot about how they think of people that are just trying to assert their right to live and to migrate.
Well, Lucy, give out a website where people can find out more about the work that AFSC is doing on this issue of migrant justice. And also, if there are, you mentioned some events that are going to be taking place as well, how they can participate in it. And I'm assuming you're also still encouraging people to contact their members of Congress to vote against border wall funding, right?
Yes, the easiest way is migrantjustice.afsc.org. And on that website, you can find all of the events that have been organized. You can organize one yourself. There's a toolkit there that you can organize with. There's social media graphics and social media messaging, so people can make sure that this stays trending in social media, whether Twitter or Facebook or Instagram. There's many, many, many tools there. And we'll be adding things. There's a video and a live stream of the action, and we'll be adding some press coverage there and some other things as well.
Lucy, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. Good luck to you.
Thank you very much, Sonali. Wonderful to speak with you.
My guest has been Lucy Duncan, Director of the Friends Relations at American Friends Service Committee. And we've been discussing the border action on Monday, where 32 clergy members of various faiths were arrested, including Lucy herself. I'm Sonali Kohatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and now on Instagram at RU with Sonali.